All right, in chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the or seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Verse 3, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat up thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." So we got a red horse, which is a picture of blood, and represents war. Go to Second. We're going to look at some scriptures. Go to Second Kings. Go to Second Kings chapter 3. And now notice it's the red horse represents blood and represents war. 2 Kings chapter 3, and look at verse 22. "And there rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the waters, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood." Okay? "And they said, 'This is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil.'" So that, again, it shows you that this is dealing with everything with war. And this writer brought this war in. And go back to Revelation there. And so in chapter or verse 4, again, so this horse rider is to take peace. So if he takes peace, that means that he will bring war and destruction. And then verse 5, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand," which represents famine, and we'll get into more of that in a minute, proving that later on. Now jump down to verse 8. "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth." So this pale horse, again, has to do with death, and it comes mainly, as we see, from pestilence that's released on the earth. In verse 9, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altars the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." And there is people killed for the stand that they're taken for this book, and that's what it's for, okay? And then look at verse 12, and we won't get that far, but in verse 12 it says, and behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And verse 13, and the stars of heaven, I got a reason for reading this. I'll show it to you, but remember verse 12, "And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as fig trees casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, even and every mountain and island were moved out of their place." Verse 15, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains." All these things take place here. And you know what? It matches something almost just identical to what Jesus Christ says. And so that's why I read that. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Of course, you get to Matthew 24, you know you're right in the middle of the tribulation. I mean, the book of Matthew is a tribulation book. But now look at this. In Matthew 24, and let's get the context of what it's talking about. Verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives," that's talking about Christ, "the disciples came unto him privately, saying, 'Tell us.'" Now, what they're doing is asking Christ a question. "Tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of the coming and of the end of the world. So he gives you the context. They're asking him of what's going to happen at the end times. So what we're getting is the end times, okay? Verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." What he's saying, he says, I am Christ, and what does he says, I'm Christ, and look what he says here, "And Jesus said to him, Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, over in Revelation chapter 6, who's that writer there in verse 1? It's the Antichrist deceiving somebody, okay? And so look at verse 6. Go back to Matthew, verse 6. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." There is your red horse rider, okay, over in Revelation chapter 6. What does he do? He takes peace and brings war. So here, "And you shall hear of rumors and war of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Verse 7 in Matthew 24. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdoms, and there shall be," what? Famines. That messes the black horse over in Revelation chapter 6. So you got famines, it's a black rider, you got pestilence, and there's your pale horse rider with the pestilence. And you think that Christ, do you think he may have knew when he was talking to his apostles over here what was coming down the pike? Because all he's doing is matching what he gave John over there. And look at verse 7 again in Matthew chapter 24. So there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes, right? That happens in Revelation chapter 6 when you get in there. Okay, that happens also. Verse 8, "All these things are the beginning of sorrows." In verse 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." So you're to be afflicted. And there are the souls that are under the altar in Revelation chapter 6. Okay? Look at verse 29 of Matthew 24. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days," so he tells you the whole context, shall the sun be what? Darkened. All of this is over in Revelation chapter 6. They said, "Tell us what the end times are going to be." He was telling the apostles almost 2,000 years ago. And then John is telling us now the same thing. And so go back to Revelation chapter 6. And so that's why I wanted you to see that thing, is because there's nothing new. Christ was preaching this when he was walking on earth. And back to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4, back up there, "And there went out another horse that was red." And power was given him that set thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. So it's black, which again is has to do with famine. And death and everything. Let me show you this, go to Lamentations, right after the book of Jeremiah. You you get over in these countries where people are starving to death, and according to the Bible, people that are starving to death, their skin turns dark. Now they may not turn black, but they'll turn dark from starvation. Okay, look at Lamentations chapter 4 and look at verse 8. By the way, what's the book of Lamentations? Tribulation. Okay. Look at verse 8. Their visage is blacker than coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin... Now, who's he talking about? You go back up and talk about what's going... Look at verse 3. Even the sea monster drew out the beast that gives suck to their young ones. The daughters of my people is become cruel like the ostrich in the world. So it's talking about Israel. Okay? That's who he's talking about, the Jewish people. Now verse 8. Their visage is blacker than coal. They are not in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. It has become like a stick. Do you ever notice that you see these pictures of emaciated children starving to death? Their skin, I mean, they're just, it's like they stretched something over a stick. It seems that black was not the normal color of these people, which we know they were dark-skinned, the Jewish people are, but they're not black. But because of what's going on during this time and what's going on, the Antichrist has already set up on the temple in Jerusalem, and they're killing Jews. They can't buy, sell, because they're not taking the mark. Okay, and in verse 9, they that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger, for these pine away, stricken through for want of the fruit of the field. And you go on there and it talks about how they'll be eating their own children. Where? In the tribulation period. Just to have something to eat. And so, look at Lamentations chapter 5.
Verse 10, if you go on and read that, it talks about them eating their children.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It just talks about them doing that in verse... Of 10, the hands of the pitiful woman have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. And that's Jewish. The Jewish people will be doing that during the tribulation. Okay? And so, but look at Lamentations chapter 5 and look at verse 10, talking about what happens when people starve to death. Our skin was black. Now notice that. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. So it proves to you, the Bible proves to you what's going on and why they're that away. And again, it's talking about the Jewish people during the tribulation because they'll be starving to death. Look at Job, just before the book of Psalms. Look at Job. Go to Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. And you want to see what it's going to be like in a tribulation? Well, read the book of Job. Job is a picture of the Jewish people going through the tribulation period, the last half. Okay? Look at Job chapter 2 and verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores and boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. That's what will be happening in the tribulation. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. God got her back. She had a bunch more kids in her old age. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Now when Job's three friends of all this
friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him, to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes far off and knew him not, they couldn't recognize him. They knew who he was, but he was unrecognizable as Job. Why? Because the boils, he hadn't eaten, the famine, everything about it. And they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights. None spake a word unto him, for they saw the grief was very great. And that is a picture of what it'll be for the Jewish people in the tribulation period. Now go back to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 5. Here again it talks about that, and when it opened the third seal, I heard the voice beast saying, come and see, and behold, a little black horse, and he that sat on him a pair of balances in his hands, which has to do with absolute accurate weighing machine, which we'd call a scale. Okay, and verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil or the wine. So notice here that there's a voice in the midst of this thing. Okay, now who's this voice? Well, go back to chapter 5. Now it's just the voice. Look at verse 5 and chapter 5, and one of the elders said to him, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loosen the seven seals of there. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth. This is Christ speaking here, the voice. Okay, that it's Jesus Christ is speaking, and he's saying a measure, which is a certain amount of wheat that is to take to make a loaf. Now, you got to remember, back in them olden days, we go down and we get a loaf of bread that's sometimes 2 or 3 pounds. No, a loaf back then were little bitty things. They were not very big at all. And so he's saying a loaf of bread, and the loaf of bread back then wasn't very big. You remember the boy over in the book of Matthew that had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Well, them wasn't like you get from... No, them were little bitty things, okay? They were not that big, so we need to understand what he's trying to get us to see here is how bad the situation is. You have to remember, a man's wages back then are a penny a day, and they didn't complain about it. Go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and look at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with them, with the laborers, for what? A penny a day. He sent them into the vineyard, and they were glad to get it. What's this a picture of? Tribulation, same thing over here. The economy is going to be, you'll work all day long to get a loaf of bread, which is a little bit dinky thing, or a penny, and you can buy a loaf of bread with that. So that's what it's talking about. Now back to Revelation. And in verse 6, it says at the end of the verse there, and see thou hurt not the oil, the wine. Of course, this olive oil, which is for cooking and lighting and cleaning. Wine, which has to do with the vineyards that were across the country of Israel, and this wine here has nothing to do with alcohol. It's juice, okay? This all has to do with government price control. And when you hear of our government trying to, that's what we're getting into. And it's rationing out the food because of the drought and the famine, okay? And go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 4. Just after Lamentations, just before Daniel. But look at Ezekiel chapter 4. Now look at verse 16. Ezekiel 4, verse 16. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight. Now, what is this talking? It's talking about the same thing that's going on in Revelation chapter 6. He says, Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment. So that is something that a staff is something we look at it like we think, well, it's a walking stick. It's something you lean on. And over here, remember during even the Great Depression, a loaf of bread, that's what they leaned on. There was very, very little to eat, okay? And so he says he's going to break it, and God connects it with the bread in Jerusalem. It's a daily necessity. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so the staff is something to lean on, and that supports you. Well, the staff of bread is what supports and sustains life in the in tribulation. And God says that he's going to break it for Jerusalem. There won't be any. Why? Because of the drought and the famine. And verse 17 over in Ezekiel says, that they may want bread and water and be astonied one with another, and consume away for their iniquity. Man, that's exactly what we're dealing with over in Revelation 16. Or 6. Look at Psalms. Psalms chapter 76. Psalm 76, and look at verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Now think about it. This is a wild verse. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. You think he doesn't do that in a tribulation period? That's a wild verse. That means that God is in complete control at all times, even in the tribulation period. And that's how he allows whatever happens to happen. And he only lets it go so far because he is a just and holy God, even at that point. Matter of fact, we know that because he shortens the time so that they all won't be consumed. And so he does it. Now again, oil and wine in the Bible, and when you look at it, they're luxuries. They really were. Not everybody, go to Proverbs 21, not everybody had the money to have oil and grape juice. It was a luxury item. Proverbs 21, look at verse 17. He that loveth pleasure. So you assume that if he's living in pleasure, he's got money, right? Waiters, not. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He's going to lose everything. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. So see, the oil and wine is an absolute necessity, and not everybody had it over there. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, how the guy was robbed and beaten. In Luke chapter 10, he said, and he went unto him and bound him up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, something that most normal people didn't have. That's Luke 10:34. And set him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. A good thing, olive oil is good for you. We know that. Most people in here use olive oil. Your system has to have the proper oil to keep you healthy and your skin from drying out. When our medical society tried to tell everybody they had to quit eating fat, what do we got now? We got cholesterol that's going out of the, and cancer. No, man, you need that stuff. And grape juice, just simply, when you go study that, has more enzymes in it than any other juice there is. So God knew what he was doing on that thing. So anyway, so oil and wine represents healing and restoration. Revelation, now go back to Revelation chapter 6. And verse 6, he says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, come and see. And I looked and beheld a pale horse, and his name that was on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. And that's at all that famines. Now, look how that a fourth part of the people on earth will be killed by sword, by hunger, by death, and by beast. Think about that. 1.5 billion people will be killed at one time. That's what it's talking about. If we're going by the population we got today. You remember I said that would be dying every day. If that thing, that if you took that 1.5 billion people and spread that over a day or time, over 500,000 would die every day in the tribulation period. But this is going on in one day. What do you think it's going to smell like in about 3 days? Because the sun's going to get hotter, right? Yeah. Man, I'm just kind of get you to want to see. Go to Ezekiel 14. We'll be done here in just a minute. Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14, look at verse 21. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my 80 judgments upon Jerusalem. Now here it is. What do you think when do you think he's talking about? The sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. All that. One day, them four things are going to kill 1.5 billion. We don't realize how many people that is. Look at Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, look at verse 25. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. Now notice, see, this all goes on, but afterwards. And I will make peace with them, I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast. I don't know what kind of evil beast these are. But a large majority of that 1.5 billion people are being killed by beast. And so here, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. You know that's after the tribulation. These beasts, something that he brings out of hell, I guess, man. I mean, they're just all these things that you see that they come up with, these space movies and all them beasts. Wait till they come up and they're real. Man, I tell you what, I mean, yeah. Look at verse 28 of that same chapter. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them. I mean, it's just not killing them, it's eating them. But they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. That's pretty good. And so, back to Revelation. You think unsaved people, well, I'm going to go through the tribute, I'm looking forward to it. Right. Wait till you see one of them critters. You'll wish you'd change your mind in a hurry. So, and back Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8, and I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death and hell, followed with him, and power is given him unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Look at chapter 9 of Revelation. Look at verse 18. By these three things was the third part of men killed, by fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Looks to me like some kind of dragon. So that's kind of wild. Look at chapter 9, look at verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of the great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there come out smoke of locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. So here is your beast that's killing part of that 1.5 billion people. They come out of hell. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. So see, God limits the power. Neither any green thing nor anything, but only those men. Remember it said, hurt not the oil and the wine? And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented for 5 months. Now these here are just also tormenting them, and their torment was the torment of the scorpion, and so you can go and read that thing. So when God is talking about these beasts, it may not be just dogs and cats and little puppy dogs. I don't think so, okay?
Verse 7 is their description.
Do what?
Verse 7 is the description of these locusts.
Yep, and the shape of them was locusts. Yeah, that's right. Now let me ask a question. How many people like, we talk about beasts and things of the earth. How many like rats? No. If the rat population were 95% destroyed today, right now, it would replace itself in 1 year. Each rat can carry up to 35 diseases, not including what the fleas will carry. Yeah. You can have New York. Them rats are running all over the place there, as big as cats. Fleas also carry typhus, which are over 4 centuries, have taken the lives of over 200 million people. Okay? That's just rats. Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, pestilence killed over 7,000 people in 3 days. Okay? Luke 21, verse 11, look there real quick. Luke 21. Luke 21, look at verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights. Yeah, look at them critters coming out of the earth. And great signs shall there be from heaven. Now think about it. What is the first 4 letters of the word of pestilence? Pest. See? 50 million people died on both sides in World War II. But here in one day, 1.5 billion people die. That's really amazing. Go back to Revelation chapter 5 or 6. And verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, now what's the number of death?
Five.
It just is. Go look at Genesis chapter 5. In every verse it says, and he died, and he died, and he died. Five is the number of death, okay? And they were killed for believing the book. In verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Verse 11, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants, who also of the brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. That soul look like without the robe? Nothing. You can't see it. Okay? You can't see a soul. See, the people that have died in the last 2,000 years don't have bodies. Their body's in the grave. That is what they're waiting for in the rapture and the resurrection, the new body. That means no one. Now get this. That means no one saw their Aunt Nellie standing at the foot of their bed telling them that about that things were from God. They don't have a body. You have to put a sheet on them to even see what the, see that they're there. Does that make common sense? Oh, I saw a ghost. No, you did not. You might. That's like saying, did you see the wind blowing the other day? No, you didn't see the wind blowing. You saw what it caused, but you didn't see the wind blow. You saw the repercussions from it. So anyway, I was just thinking about that. These people say, oh, I saw that. No, you didn't. No. They don't have bodies. No. So in verse 11, he's talking about, so in the tribulation, many Christians will be getting killed. And how will they get? Oh, they won't be Christians in tribulation. They'll be saints. Okay. Look at, and how they, chapter, look at chapter 20. Christians will be in heaven. So how are they going to get killed? Chapter 20, look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Oh, for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. They're going to be getting their head chopped off. People that reject the mark and won't take the mark of the beast, and want to live for Christ, they're going to get their head chopped off. The Antichrist is just not killing them. They are eating them because there's nothing to eat. This is so hard for Christians. They just can't imagine. When you take famine and the sun's going to get 7 times hotter, it burns up and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. There's going to be, and the locust and everything comes and eats what there is. There will be nothing to eat. And the Antichrist will be offering the Jews up for sacrifice and drinking their blood and eating them. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, look at verse 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of dead men, and every living soul died in the sea. Can't go fishing. All right. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of the waters, and they became blood. You just can't go out and get you any water. It's all going to be turned into blood. You see where, I mean, tough situation. And I heard the angel of the water saying, thou art right, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged this. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. See? Well, where are they getting the blood? They're killing Jews. Drinking their blood because that's all they've got. 17, chapter 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Well, that's just your interpretation. Really? I don't think so. So, now here are some, and I'll give you some more. You can write them down. That proves it. Psalm 16:4, Psalms 52:4, Psalms 44:22, Isaiah 6:13, Jeremiah 10:25, Jeremiah 51:34, Leviticus 1:17. And both the chapters in Leviticus proves this thing of what they'll be doing in the tribulation period. So go back to Revelation chapter 5. And so when you hear some idiot talking about he's looking forward to the tribulation, he does not have a clue. He won't even make it. So in verse 11, and they were given white robes. Look at chapter 13 and we'll close. Chapter 13 and verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Who's that? The Antichrist. That the image of the beast should both speak. Now, what was you teaching about in Daniel? That image? Yeah. Different. But this image comes to life. It gets its power from Satan. And he, it might be a totem pole. But it comes to life and it starts speaking. And he had power to give unto life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both take speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Why? Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar demanded the same thing. Nebuchadnezzar, which is from the family of Ham, is an absolute number one representative picture of the Antichrist in the tribulation period. So, and now when you stop and think about it, what better way to get food? When you got a whole nation of people, you can just kill and eat. You say it's ridiculous. Really? I don't think so.
There's going to be pestilence on the earth, but the Antichrist is eating good.
Do what? Yeah.